I'm going to pray for us as we get ready to hear the word this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are teaching us how to worship well, Lord, and that we are in this journey of growing in our understanding of our worship of you, Lord. And as we talk about this morning, Father, a thing that I believe is dear to your heart and something that you use deeply in our own lives, Father, I pray that you would lead us and that we'd hear your voice. Holy Spirit, speak to each of our hearts and may we leave here with a greater understanding of your heart and how we can respond to it. In Jesus' name we pray. We all say, amen. We are busy with a series called More Than a Song, where we are discovering that all of life is worship. And if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, I started off by going to the heartbeat of what worship is, and that is to know God alone as God of our lives. That all of life, in all things of life, is all for the glory of God. And then last week, we spoke about singing as worship, which was a great moment. If you missed it, please go and watch it. It wasn't just me speaking, but we had some of our music leaders up front and explaining to us the heartbeat and the theology and the understanding behind why do we sing? Why is it important to sing? What happens when we sing? This morning, we're going to talk about sowing, because it is our AGM moment and because money, which you believe it or not, is part of your every single day life. Honestly, it is. Every single day of your life, at some point, money is a part of it. And I think it's good to pause and actually go to the text and see what God says about this for us as his people. So when you think about your wallet, what comes to mind? This is not my wallet, just disclosure. It's very shiny. I borrowed Eliana's just because mine is in the car. But if you think about your wallet, I want you to take a moment and feel what comes up in your heart. Your wallet might not look like this. It might be just your phone. It might be your bank balance. But I want you to feel what you feel when you think about this. When you think about what comes into it, what goes out of it, what needs to happen today, what needs to happen this week. This morning we're going to talk about wallet worship. Because every time this thing opens or closes, I believe there's an opportunity to worship. Because all of life is worship. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you, and I'm quoting Paul from the paraphrase version in the Message. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you, is take your everyday, ordinary life, your eating, drinking, going about, coming in life, and lay it down as an offering before him. Can we worship with our wallets? I think we are called to worship with our wallets. Siri agrees. She might look for an AI response to that, but she's not going to find it because we have the Bible to help us this morning. But I want you to think a little bit deeper about your wallet. What is your "if only I could" when you think about money? What comes to mind? What is that thing that leads your heart when you think about how you worship with your wallet? Maybe you think, well, I deserve every cent of this. I have worked blood, sweat, and tears. This is mine. So when I open it up, that's for me. Or maybe you're clenching it real tight in the season of life that you might be in because you're scared if you open it up and you take anything out that it might just be empty. Or maybe you are in the privileged position that you don't actually think about it. You can buy what you want. You can spend the money where you want to. See, all of us have to think around this at some point, because if all of life is worship, then surely the way we treat our money is an opportunity to worship or not. And Jesus speaks about this in the Sermon on the Mount. He takes those who follow him through so much, and he teaches them a new kingdom perspective, a new way of living. Everything that they knew before in this life is all of a sudden being unsettled by the things that Jesus says. If you want some unsettling in your faith, go and read the Sermon on the Mount, and you'll find some resettling in Jesus. Because he comes and he challenges the way we think about stuff. And in there, he starts speaking about money. And Jesus says this, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. And in case we don't know what Jesus is speaking about, he makes it so clear. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the only time in the ministry of Jesus through the Gospels where he directly opposes another God opposite himself. And he speaks about money. Because Jesus knew that this would be a real battle. And that we have to choose, are we going to serve this thing and all the emotions that come to mind? Or are we going to put our eyes and serve Jesus? He says there can't be any 40-60 split here. You can't bow to this God of money, Mammon, and serve him a little bit. And then some of your time and your heart you give to me. And may I propose this morning, there's no tithe and 90% split either. I'll give a tithe and the rest is mine. No, Jesus says, serve me with it all. That doesn't mean you give it all away. We'll get there in a moment. So don't think I'm going to send around an offering basket, which we don't do here. And I'll explain in a moment why not. He says, no, it's about the condition of your heart. Who's on the throne of your heart when you think about finance? Who leads your emotions? What is true about you when you open your wallet to worship? Do you want to know what you worship? Just watch where all your money goes. Giving is an absolute gift. The ability to sow and use finances to give to God and his purposes is a gift for this very reason. I believe that giving is the ultimate idol test. The moment you've got to take some out and give it away and don't keep it to yourself, the idols in your heart start reacting. There's stuff in here that goes a little bit, I could maybe spend it on myself, or yes, I've been wanting that. And then the Holy Spirit comes and he blows over your budget planning, which I believe is what we should do as followers of Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you for the salary that I just received. Can you help me structure my budget for this month? Can you prophetically give me insight on what I need to put down for when? And I want to serve you with each and every cent. So if you tell me where it goes, I'll worship all the way because my money is going to be directed by you. Giving comes and challenges the idols in our heart. Let me mention a few. The idol of pleasure and comfort. This money is mine, and I'm going to spend it on the things that I want. Let me remind you that there's nothing wrong with the gifts. But if the gifts become more important than the giver, our worship is wrongly placed. He's given us the gifts to enjoy. But the enjoyment should not end in the gift. It should be directed to the giver. That's where we started the series. That's why a series is important. Can't just preach a sermon on its own. You've got to connect it to the journey we are on. When we give, when we sow, when we give some of our money to the Lord, it challenges the idol of self-betterment. Ooh, I can use this money to make me better. Feel better, look better, do better, whatever better you want. It challenges the idol of identity. I can use this and I can have that nicer car and the bigger house and the cooler clothes and A, B, C, D, because then people will look at me in a different light and I can keep up with the Joneses. That's an idol. The moment you think like that and you need to give to God and that thing comes, it points to you that maybe you're serving two masters. And I see it as a gift. I don't see it as condemnation. I see this as Jesus saying, if that happens in your heart, come on, buddy, come back to me. Let me be the one that you worship. Lay down, repent, turn away from that, and let me be the attention of your heart. My challenge, the idol of security for you. You focus so much on saving and passing on and generational wealth that God might want to use some of that wealth that you have for this generation, for people in this world, in this time that needs it now. That might become an idol. So focused on particularly planning it so well, and then you quiet the voice of the Holy Spirit when he challenges you to maybe give some of that to someone in need today. My challenge, the idol of recognition. Let me show you how much I give. Yo, the Lord really blessed me, but I've given my tithe and beyond because we want recognition from one another. Doesn't the Bible say that when we give, our right hand should not know what our left hand is doing? You see, all of us have these little things in our heart when we think about our wallets. And Jesus is saying, no, if you want to worship me, if you walk it out with me, there's a better way to walk. Maybe the idol of significance comes up to you this morning. You base your significance on what you earn and because you earn and that you can earn and that you have a big salary. And it's become your significance. Some of you might feel insignificant because you might be in a season of waiting where there's no earning and all of a sudden your whole significance world is crumbling because I'm not adding anything. It all belongs to Him. He's the provider of all things. Every good gift we have comes from a Father above. So do you see that I can spend a whole morning talking just about the idols, and now we've got to make a decision. If we follow Jesus and we follow Him together, that we would do what He says. And He stands in front of His church and He says, when it comes to you, serve me. Don't bow down to any smaller and lesser idol when you think about money. So how do we do this? How do we move our hearts further away from the money idols and actually get to worshipful giving? Do you know that you can give without worshiping? You can just give because we give, right? And your heart might not even be in it. You do it reluctantly. You pay that EFT like, oh, this hurts. Rather than don't give. If you send a tithe and you don't really want to, I'd rather have you keep it back. Because Jesus is after hearts that worship Him. Not after people that do just the stuff that we need to do. So how does worshipful giving look then? I believe that worshipful giving is only possible when we have a God-oriented idea of finances. When every time we think about money, we bring God into the conversation. And I think it's possible. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit empowers us to live this Christian life. And I've seen it in this congregation. I've seen it some of you in this room where you submit your journey of wealth to the work of the Holy Spirit and amazing things take place. So this morning we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. As Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, there's an upcoming collection for the church in Jerusalem. And they knew that it was coming. And Paul, as a good pastor as he is, doesn't just say send the money. He uses it as an opportunity to speak to their hearts and pastor them through this moment of giving. So let's read together. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. There it is. From your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Let's pause there. What is Paul saying? He says, here's how it works. Go to your heart and decide in there, I want to give this. And do it worshipfully, knowing that God is the provider and He will make sure that you have what you need. That's what Jesus said back in the Sermon on the Mount. You cannot serve this thing called money. And then He says, don't be anxious about what you'll eat or what you'll wear. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers of the field. Your heavenly Father clothes them and feeds them. Aren't they beautiful? And you worry about tomorrow. Who can by worrying add another day to his life? Your Father in heaven knows that you need these things. And if you first seek his kingdom, his righteousness, his worship, his face, his desire for how you spend your finances, all these things will be added unto you. Guys, this requires faith. Faith isn't just coming to a church and hearing the message. It's going out there and living it. That's true faith. It's not just singing a song and we feel like it. It's now going to Monday morning and that payment needs to happen. And we say, God, you said you will provide. I'm going to first seek your kingdom. I'm going to do what you want me to do, knowing that you will take care. Let's continue to read. He, speaking about God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. And then I want to read that last bit from the NLT translation. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resource and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. So looking at that verse, we see that God provides seed. Because he provides seed, he provides bread. But then he provides even more than that so that we can have a harvest of generosity. Not I sow, so the harvest now comes back to me. No, you sow, and then the harvest that comes is that God is glorified through you sowing more because you are sowing. That's what the text is saying to us this morning. We've had it asked many times, why don't every nation in Helderberg speak about money every Sunday? Why don't we take up an offering every Sunday? Because we want you to look to God in your finances. We want you to follow Jesus and do what he says. I've seen it in my own walk, and I don't say this with any means of judgment, but I've seen enough that weekly encouragement could easily become a slight tool of manipulation to make sure that people give the tithe because, oh goodness, if that doesn't happen, then we won't survive another month. And as an eldership and as a Finco, we said, our faith is in this gift giver who will take care of what we need to do in this earth. And when I look at that report, that can only be the miraculous God of miracles who do that for our church. And even this morning, I don't want you to hear Pierce psyching you up to give more. Then you miss the whole point. I want to raise your eyes off your wallet onto God. So three things that come out this morning is that worshipful giving requires faith. He supplies the seed. Who supplies the seed? God does. Who's your source of seed? Is it your business? Is it your parents? Is it your workplace? Or is it him? Because he can in a moment tweak any of those things I just mentioned. And that channel of supply can stop. Because he is the supplier of seed. Some of you have felt that pain of when that stops. And then it drives you to say, God, I need you to come through in a miraculous way. And I'll work hard for my seed. Yes. But the channel or the vehicle through which he supplies is not meant to be our focus. Paul makes it so clear. He supplies the seed. Who is the source? And as I just said, in this church, we know that God is the source. Therefore, we don't feel this need to speak to you every week about, let's give more, let's give more. We keep looking to him. And in faith, we will keep walking this out. And as a means of testimony, last year in February, as a Finco, we were together. And you know what? We have not been giving our full 10% to every nation global for a season of time because there's grace. We as a church have went through some real difficult financial years. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe you guys remember, Scott, I think it was 7 years of running in a deficit. 7 years of running in a deficit. That was hard. In the beginning of February last year, the beginning of this financial year, we just reported on, God challenged our faith. He said, where are you looking? And we decided, you know what, even though we can't, we're going to start giving a full 10% of our income to every nation in Southern Africa. Now, let me just explain what that does. The 10% that we give there is not so that the leaders of every nation can have lovely lives and drive nice cars and be the apostolic leaders that has VIP entrances and come with suits and fly with private jets, because that ain't happening in our world, right? I just want to say that. 5% or 50% of that, which all the every nation churches give around the world, half of that is then used globally, And then the other half is used in the region. So when we give, as Every Nation Helderberg, when you entrust your money to us and we give to Every Nation Southern Africa, 50% of that which we give goes to campus ministry, goes to new church plants, goes to leadership development. It goes into the ministry and reaching of people in our region. And then the other 50% that goes to the International Fund funds so many things like the conference that you guys have just experienced and benefited from. But then we have Shimik from Poland with us, who, if you guys remember, at the Together Sunday, saying that $1.2 million has been given to their church from Every Nation to help in the Ukraine war relief. It's because you guys gave. And we decided we're going to have faith to give this full 10%. And we didn't have it then, but a year later, the testimony is that by God's grace, there was the biggest surplus we've ever seen. See, it requires faith. It requires faith to open this up and say, I'm not going to make it, but the Holy Spirit is impressing on my heart that I should give. And in my heart, I'm choosing to give. So I will, and then God will continue to supply the seed. When I look at our church budget, we always try and push our giving even further. 27% of that which we've given over the past previous financial year happened outside of what you guys see in this room. And that gives me a sense of faith. Gives me a sense of, guys, we can do more. November last year, as a Finco, we said, it's time for our faith to be stretched again. So then when we have to pay 300,000 rand to 150 people to bring them to the conference so that people who could never put their foot, even in Cape Town or dream about it, can come to a global conference and receive that input and that connection, and their hearts open up to know that they are part of a global church and they experience God's goodness. We stand back and we're like, thank you, God, for providing. It required faith to say, we will commit to this project. And the Lord has come through. Isn't he amazing like that? Worshipful giving is a thing of faith, to know that he supplies the seed. I don't have to make the seed happen. I don't have to get more of it. I don't need to try and connive things and do things. So no, God, you're the supplier. And however you want to supply this, I'll happily receive it. But then it goes to the second point, is that worshipful giving requires faithfulness. Not only faith to receive, but then faithfulness to turn the seed into bread. I don't know if you guys like eating seed. I can see some guys in the room, it's like, there's no way. I'm not a seed eater. I know some of you might be. Bless your heart if you are. That's wonderful. But the text says he will supply seed for the sower and then bread to eat. What does this mean? It means you'll supply the finances that you meet, but then it's up to you to be faithful with that and produce bread so that there's bread to eat. Which means we got to work. He wants to supply, but we have to be faithful in our working. Doesn't mean we sit back and, God, let the glory of heaven open up and laps of dollars fall just down and I can go do what I want to do. No, I've got to work. I've got to take that which entrusts me and I've got to work it with it and make it work so that bread can come and my family can eat, my community can eat, and more of us can eat together. It's not just bread for your food. The text says seed, so that there can be bread for food, not your food, for food, which means it's meant for more than you. It's meant to be something that you share within your community. Remember, when Paul writes a letter to a church, he writes to the collective, not the individual. And so many times we read this as an individual thing. This is just my journey, but it says, no, you, Corinth, you, Every Nation, Helderberg, you all together, I'll supply enough seeds to this house and make sure that amongst you there's enough bread so that everyone can eat. That's the true heart of being faithful in the seed that God supplies. If I look back just from January this year, and I'm not saying this boasting, I'm saying this from a principal's perspective. If we know where our seed comes from and if we work hard, what can God do? Now, we don't have this reporting this morning in the officials because the reporting is the previous financial. But since January 2023, we have been able to give 1.6 million rand outside of what you guys see here on a Sunday. that doesn't go to salaries, doesn't go to operations. It goes to salaries and honorariums for our churches in the rurals. It goes to church buildings. It goes to benevolence fund. It feeds people that need food. It goes into places that we might never see with our own eyes. But I believe it's because we decided as an eldership that we want to be faithful with the seed and work that seed so that it can become bread and more can come and feast in the kingdom of God. He gives seed. We do the work. Everyone is fed. Isn't that beautiful? Lord, you will supply in all that we need as a church. We will be faithful to work it well. And then the outcome is that everyone will be fed, which brings me to the third point this morning, is worshipful giving requires future thinking. Let's read what Paul said. He said, and over the seed and the bread, he will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. So there's three things that God does. He gives us seed, which we then turn into bread, and then he gives us even more so that we can multiply our sowing. What does this mean? It means that anything that we get over and above that we have received to make sure that there's bread in the house, we get to sow. We get to give it away. We can take our 27% and we can move it up to 40 if God so desires us to, because he is such a generous, magnanimous God that he just gives more than we could ever ask. And this is where kingdom thinking comes in. That's why we say part of what we're receiving from this church, the future thinking is that we're going to invest into Sir Lowry's Pass. The future thinking is that we want some money to go there. Yes, some money already went there for training and leadership development. But next year is a season for us to say, the future thinking is if we want to take the Helderberg, we better plant a flag and some leaders in that community so that people can meet Jesus. Friends, it's not about the numbers. It's not about the money. It's about the ministry output that we get to achieve together for future generations. Don't just take the seed that you have and turn it into bread and eat it up. No, I'll give enough of seed that you can make bread, but then the extra, plant it and harvest and sow and plant and harvest and sow. And then take what you need and make bread and then eat the bread, but then the extra, plant it and harvest. See, continuous future thinking, generational thinking. What can God do in the Helderberg if we as a church say, God, thank you for what you give. We'll use what we need, but we are constantly thinking about what you still want to do in this earth. That's why I believe we should live. And that's why I believe we should worship the Lord through our giving. And then I love how Paul brings this together. And this is really making the connection between giving and worship. He says, two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. There'll be bread. And they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. How do you show that you worship Jesus? Through generosity. And you know what? In the end, God gets the glory. That's the ultimate purpose of being generous with these things. So when we hold it wrong and we look at it wrong and our attitude towards it is wrong, may I suggest to you this morning that you might just be stealing some of his glory, keeping it to yourself, because you don't want to live in faith, you don't want to live in faithfulness, and you don't want to think long term for the sake of the kingdom, not just the sake of your own name, but for the sake of the name above every other name. And may I take some creative freedom this morning and rewrite this verse for us. So two good things will result from the ministry of giving: the needs of the believers in the Helderberg and beyond will be met. And they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, church, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Jesus Christ. This is so important. Because at one point in time, the Father sent a seed. And his name is Jesus. And he died so that everyone can eat from the bread of life. And when we eat from that bread of life, we get to partner with that which God has sent for all future generations, that we get to show what God has done generously to others. Generosity, friends, is a means to reflect the gospel. It's a means to tell the world of a God that is faithful when we have faith, when we are faithful, and if we think of the future and what he can still do through our finances. What's the idol in your heart this morning? What's the split? Is it 100% Jesus? Knowing that if I follow him and I seek his kingdom and his righteousness, the rest will come. Is it 97 and 3%? Is it 90-10? Is it 50-50? I'll do my part and God can do whatever he wants. I'll boer maak 'n plan. True worshippers give it 100%. Say, Jesus, when I think about money, have all of me. Have all of me. And this morning, I want to challenge you a little further. I'm going to give you opportunity to discuss the message this morning with one another in groups. We're going to be playing some music, but sometimes we hear the message and we leave the room and we haven't thought through how do I apply this in my life. But I want you to be vulnerable and open and share with one another what stood out to you this morning and what do you think God is expecting of you to do and change or do different or do better or do less in your own walk with him so that you can be worshipful through your giving. So let's make groups just where you are, have a conversation with one another, and after that we will wrap up this morning.
I want to encourage us to go and continue these conversations in our homes. Pierre, I just wanted to share that as you were holding up your wallet and going through, you know, these certain things, I had a picture of, you know, when you talk about money, sometimes people feel a bit tense. They feel a bit uncomfortable because our wallets are very heavy. And our wallets are very heavy because sometimes we're carrying certain cards. And in our wallets, we have these cards of recognition, right? We have cards of security for our kids. We have these cards of self-embetterment and bigger houses and bigger cars. We've got these cards of pleasure and holiday and all these things we need to meet. And I think this morning, God is saying, take all these cards out of your wallet. And what you want to put in this wallet is now faith. You want to put long thinking. You want to put faithfulness. Your wallet is going to become a lot lighter and a lot easier to move. So let me just pray for us as a congregation. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you, Lord, that you are setting some of us free from the burden and the stress and the pain that we have when we think about our own security, when we think about the things that we'd like to buy and the things that we'd like to improve in our lives. But we're praying this morning, Lord, that your word actually sets us free, that in your word there is freedom. So we pray, Lord, that we'll be able to go home as families and would worshipfully think about our giving, would worshipfully think about where we want to commit our finances and where we want to sow seed. And that indeed, Lord, this word is a freeing word, not a condemning word. In your name, that is above all names. And God's people said, Amen.